Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Was it just me? Did that video not play properly at all?
It started some music and then just cut to black.
Yeah, that is just, it just couldn't be bothered. Okay, well, hello, everyone. Hello, Fightful Faithful, Fightful fans. Welcome to the Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chase. And today I have joining me Davey Portman from Poison Manor. Hello, Davey.
Hello, hello, hello. Steph, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am a lot better than I was last time I saw you. Three in the morning in a sweaty bar. With a lot of wrestling fans singing karaoke. I feel a lot better than then. Thank you.
Yeah. Last time I saw Davey, he was keeping the all night, all in after party going in the bar, karaoke. And then didn't some normies come in and want to sing some non-wrestling songs? And then you ended up having to take all their requests?
Yeah, it was, oi, bruv, I want to sing some Taylor Swift, bruv. It was a lot of that. Yeah.
A lot of fun times. Fun times indeed. But, you know, we're all still alive after that weekend. And we're back for another AEW pay-per-view. And this weekend, we have an NXT pay-per-view too. And you are the guy to talk to about that, Davey, because your podcast is all about NXT, isn't it?
Yeah. So I work for Post Wrestling with Braden Harrington and have been doing a post show for NXT for the past 5 years. Up Next show every Tuesday night through thick and thin, the height of the black and gold era through to the color splash of the 2.0 era. And then in what I call the Sean finding his feet era, which we're in right now, where things are like quietly getting pretty good again. So not only that, on our Poison Rana Patreon, we've gone right back to the beginning of NXT, covering it right back from the beginning of the Full Sail era back in 2013. So, yeah, you could say I know my stuff when it comes to NXT.
Oh, yeah. And there's some guys from NXT, the black and gold era in AEW now. I feel like that's Tony's favorite era of wrestling. If you like had to ask him, I think black and gold NXT is his jam.
It definitely seems that way. Yeah,
it definitely does. Yeah. So we're going to start, guys, with the No Mercy predictions, and then we're going to go into Wrestle Dream. And if you want to make a prediction, you can put it in the chat, send us a super chat, and so show some support for the show. I guess before predictions, Davey, do you think we're going to see anyone at No Mercy, like maybe a Jade Cargill, even if she's just sitting in the crowd? Because this show is loaded with NXT people as well, I've noticed going through it. So any like prediction on whether or not we get our first glimpse of WWE Jade?
I think so. I think you're going to see her in the front row. They're going to make a big deal of her. I don't think she's going to be going to NXT, but I definitely think they've already rolled out the red carpet for her with all the all the stuff they've been putting out on social media, on ESPN.
Yeah.
I think it's a great opportunity to just have her sat there in that crowd and potentially do a debut at Fastlane the following week or something.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Mm. No, I was going to say Brian Pillman Jr. as well. It's the other one where they started running vignettes this Tuesday for him, it seems. So whether they keep those vignettes going for a little bit or just, you know, do the classic front row at TakeOver, that kind of thing. They're the two people I expect to probably see there.
I think that what they've done with Jade has been fantastic, like, so far. I know she's not appeared on TV, but like announcing it like that in social media, you know, having her like do interviews and stuff like that. And it's just been, it's been really cool. I'm so excited to see her in WWE. I think they kind of dropped the ball a bit in AEW. I know every time I say that, I've got people jumping at me saying, no, she did everything she could. Like in 2 years, everything in 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Don't remember any Britt Baker match, any Sheeta match, Jamie Hayter match or anything. Like, it's
She was in her own little island.
She took over the Codyverse, basically.
She did, yeah. And now she can be back with Cody. But I'm excited to see it. Brian Pillman Jr., less hyped for, but you never know. You never know what they can do with him.
I mean, I think NXT will be good for him. I think, you know, doing like the live circuit, being in the PC every day, he's definitely got name value. And the fact that he just looks so like his dad as well, I think can bring back some of those old people that's like, wait, is that Brian Pillman's kid? He was definitely improving towards the end of his AEW run in ring. So I'm curious to see, but definitely NXT has to be his destination.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick off No Mercy. I think this one is on the pre-show. We have Blair Davenport versus Kalani Jordan. Is this one that you're hyped for? I think this seems to be the one that no one's got anything to say about.
I can't say so. It's this weird thing WWE does when they release people, especially in NXT, because we've seen Mustafa Ali was meant to have a match on this show. And Dana Brooke, since going back to NXT, has been kind of doing this. We've been joking, calling her Deathmatch Dana. She's like trying to show her edge and she's being a bit meaner. And she's taken Kalani Jordan, who just looks like a Disney star, under her wing and trying to make her a little more mean and vicious. And you just had the classic thing on this week's NXT where it's Kalani not saying, yeah, Dana Brooke's left, but, oh, I've been having a tough week. Which, you know, Wesley had a tough 6 months after something happened and he was no longer a tag team champion.
Not as tough a week as Dana, Kalani. Not as tough a week as Dana.
I know. So, yeah. And Blair's currently in a feud with Gigi as well. So I see this more of a match to set up an angle between Blair and Gigi.
Yeah. Winner, I'm going to go for Blair.
Yeah, Blair 100%.
Yeah. The NXT Tag Team Championship match, we have Tony DeLangelo, I don't know how I'm saying that, and Channing Stacks Lorenzo versus the Creed Brothers versus Los Lotharios and versus OTM. Okay, sorry, yes. I have not seen the most recent NXT. Who have you got for this one?
So OTM is out the mud, Lucien Price and Bronco Nima. It's scripts, like kind of street gang group he's got going on. This match came about over dinner. D'Angelo and Stax just invited people over for dinner and was like, hey, how do you want a tag match? This I'm not really interested in. I want them to pull the trigger on the Creeds. I want the Creeds to get out of this kind of goofy stuff they're doing and just be a killer tag team, because they are the best in the division right now. And it's something I'm really missing, something I don't think they've rehabbed too well, is the tag division, which always used to be like kind of the crowning jewel of NXT back in its glory days. So I'm going with the Creeds.
The Creeds are really good. Yeah, I'm really high on the Creeds as well. They always really impress me. Next, we've got, speaking of pulling the trigger, Baron Corbin versus Vaughn Breaker. Baron Corbin, one of many WWE main roster guys on here. I'm going to go for Vaughn Breaker in this one and hope that Baron's there to put him over.
I'm going for the fans on this one. Like, what a match. Baron Corbin, Bron Breakker. I see a no contest here. I think we're going to get the return of Von Wagner. after his iron head was caved in by Bron Breakker. And I think both these guys are getting tabled. And I think the crowd will really enjoy it. I think it'll be pretty fun. They had a good pull apart this week on NXT, but I don't think it matters who's winning this one. I think it's for a big return of Big Von.
And then the Heritage Cup, Nomdar versus Butch. I'm thinking Butch for this one.
Yeah, I'm wondering with all this kind of crossover with main roster, whether you see Butch kind of doing some little open challenges on SmackDown, perhaps, or something like that.
Yeah.
Seeing a rounds match on main roster would be very strange. But I have kind of enjoyed this tournament they've done. And I think Noam Dar with Metaphor is actually a group that's really working for me. So they have flip-flopped the cup around quite a bit. But I would like to see Butch kind of take it to the main roster for a little bit.
Next up, my favorite wrestler, Dominic Mysterio, the North American champion, versus Trick Williams with the special guest referee, Dragon Lee. It's got to be Dominic, hasn't it? They're not going to take his belt off him.
Oh, I'm calling it the opposite. the kind of big kind of story going on in NXT is Trick kind of wanting to be his own man and go out on his own. Mm-hmm. And I think it adds a little nice wrinkle if at the end of the night, Trick has some gold and Mello doesn't. So especially with Dragon Lee being the special guest referee there, I think you can have Lee screw over Dom, move back up to Raw and continue that feud on Raw. But yeah, I'm going to go Trick here.
Yeah, then Dom can just go on to win the world title. It's fine.
Absolutely.
And then an Extreme Rules match for the Women's Championship, Becky Lynch versus Tiffany Stratton. I think Becky Lynch in this one. I am really high on Tiffany Stratton, and I see like a lot of people being high on her, but is she ready yet to beat Becky Lynch?
I think Tiffany's fantastic. She's been doing this, what, just 2 years? And every match she gets better and better. Her promos get better and better. That match she had with Becky a couple of weeks ago, I really, really got into. I would kind of like to see Becky be here a little bit longer. We've got a little bit more time before Survivor Series when it's maybe you want to start amping her up again on the main roster. There are some people, like, I'd love to see her, you know, face a Lyra Valkyria or a Roxanne Perez or something like that. So I think Tiffany doesn't necessarily need to win this one. I think now you're going to see, hopefully a bigger audience see how good Tiffany Stratton is. Yeah. The other option is, do you do a thing with Jade, where Jade could be the one to beat Becky for the NXT championship and just have this short run, kind of do what Kevin Owens did when he goes up to the main roster with the title for a little bit and debut her that way, perhaps?
Yeah. I think that would be cool. I think Becky being on the show makes me think about if they could do something with Jade, because even if maybe it's like the more unlikely scenario that Tiffany wins, you could have Jade confront Becky to set up a Raw or SmackDown feud, a main roster feud between them as well. Like, I feel like if you're ever going to show Jade in the audience or do anything with her, it would be during this match.
Yeah. Also, being Extreme Rules, like, you can totally have something screwy with Jade costing Becky, perhaps.
Yeah. And finally, Carmelo Hayes versus Ilya Dragunov. I think Carmelo's retaining here. I guess maybe him and Trick could both hold gold. I don't know, but I got to go with Carmelo.
I'm going with Dragunov. I think it's his time. This is a rematch. They've done it before. So I don't know if you're going to have Melo win two times in a row. Last time it was Trick that cost Ilya the title. Maybe Trick accidentally cost Melo the title this time round. I see Melo going up soon. And if you follow kind of his socials and stuff, he has kind of been teasing stuff with whatever Lashley and the Street Profits are doing. And that could be a way to get the title off him and move him up. And see Ilya's run, because I think I love any Ilya Dragunov match. So I think it could be his time.
Yeah, I feel like Carmelo is one of the ones that people have been talking about the longest as far as going up. I know, like, I interviewed him ages ago and it felt like he was about to go up, and then he's still not there yet. So I could see that for him before the end of the year. That is NXT No Mercy. What's your hype level for it? Hot, cold, lukewarm? You know,
I've really been enjoying NXT recently. I think they've been starting to put on really good matches on TV again. And actually, they have pretty logical storytelling, as goofy as it can be at times. You can see the destination they're trying to go to with some stuff. And it's definitely come out of that 2.0 era. So I'm looking forward to this. I think the two world title matches are going to be fantastic. And I think we'll have some fun on the undercard as well.
Yeah, it feels like Sean has kind of found himself with NXT the past couple of months, really. He's really pulled it together. But speaking of goofiness, I mean, we can't really knock it, because next up we've got WrestleDream, and there's been some goofy things happening in AEW recently that we can get into. We have 10 matches so far for WrestleDream, but you know what Tony's like. He's probably going to add a couple more on Rampage and Collision, so there'll be some we don't cover. But let's get into it and start with a multi-tag team match. The Young Bucks versus the Guns versus the Lucha Brothers versus Orange Cassidy and Hook. The team of Orange Cassidy and Hook, Davey, does that excite you?
Not really. I want to see Orange continuing with singles stuff.
Yeah, me too. It's
like, I think this would have been fun a year ago, but I think Orange, like, he is a main eventer now. He main evented the last pay-per-view, and in loss, I think, made himself as well. So I don't want to see him in the tag division right now.
No, it's weird because we've got the former international champion and the international champion in this multi-tag person match. Yeah, I think that I've been wanting Hook to do solo stuff for a while. They always pair him up with someone. And then the Orange Cassidy stuff, he was doing so amazingly well. And then remember when he came out in Dynamite after he lost the championship? And it made it seem like he was going to continue just, you know, fighting on and taking on challengers and working his way back up to it. And no, he's hanging around with Hook now. Not that there's anything wrong with hanging out with Hook, but still. The Guns, I really enjoy being in Bullet Club Gold. The Young Bucks, this just feels like a weird step for them. Like, I just wish these guys would actually be a tag team in the tag team division instead of finding ways to, like, get out of just being a straightforward tag team.
Okay, this is my gripe with Tony Khan, like, all the time. You've got in this match, you've got the ROH six-man tag team champions, you've got the international champion, and you've got the FTW champion. Like, can we just have tag teams go for tag team gold and singles wrestlers go for singles gold and trios champions be for trios gold? And this happens all the time. Like, as soon as way back when Darby wins the TNT title, better do tag matches with Sting for the next three pay-per-views. It's bizarre. And this match does have me cold. I think it's going to, like, the talent is there. It's going to be a fantastic match, but I can't say I'm really too interested in it. And it does feel very thrown together last minute.
Yeah. I'm not sure, like, that it's actually going to be that good, just because there's so many people in it that just, like, looking at all their names together feels like it's just going to be, like, a little bit messy. Mm. But you are right that Tony just has this habit of he doesn't focus enough on the tag division. I think the trios division brought down the tag division, and he just doesn't have enough discipline to be like, right, these are our tag teams, and then these are the guys in certain, like, sections of the singles division. So then we get these, like, jumbled up matches where we've got a guy like Hook that should be on some kind of solo path to something, like maybe a TNT championship shot or something. You've got Orange Cassidy just lost the belt, the Young Bucks that just refused to actually operate within the tag division despite being the tag team that the company's based on and everything else. Like, wow. I don't even know how you go about predicting a winner for this, because I don't actually think the outcome of this will have any bearing on anything. I'm just going to guess Orange Cassidy and Hook just as a fun thing that maybe leads them both to have solo adventures, but it feels very inconsequential to be putting, like, brain power into who it's going to be.
I don't think they've said for when this match is it? So this could just be a throwaway Dynamite match or Collision match. It's also, like, whether you see FTR retaining? Because, I mean,
yeah,
if you're switching to Aussie Open, which is something I think they could really need at this point to kind of make them seem a bit more credible, you could go with the Young Bucks and have that. But also Young Bucks are tied up with ROH stuff. So I think the likelihood it's going to be Orange Cassidy and Hook, and it will be a match in like 2 weeks on Dynamite.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Wheeler Yuta versus Ricky Starks. I think this is actually going to be a really good match. Ricky is coming off, I think, one of the best matches of the year at the last pay-per-view. I think Wheeler Yuta is always really fantastic. I think for this one, I think Ricky is going to take this one just because I think he's more on the come up. Wheeler Yuta always does pretty well out of things, but like Ricky, I feel like they're giving Ricky everything they can possibly give him right now just to make sure he doesn't, you know, follow his best friend Jade Cargill out the door. So I'd have him win this one, but he's been really great recently, and I always like Wheeler Yuta.
I'm really enjoying Ricky Starks at the moment, and but I do hear so many people are like, yeah, he had a great match against Danielson, but still doesn't really do it for me. And I think a lot of people are still on the fence with him in seeing him in that kind of main eventer role. I actually thought Yuta sounded really good this week on Dynamite as well, but he's someone who can take the loss to Ricky Starks, you know, have just another really good hard-hitting match. Ricky showing that he ain't just pretty Ricky. He can, you know, mix it with the BCC, but ultimately I think he really needs this win here, especially after a couple of losses to Danielson.
I think people would be higher on Ricky as the main eventer if they were just more consistent with him. And he's had some really bad luck. Like what happened with Punk was bad luck for Ricky, even though he ended up with a Danielson match. And his storyline with Punk was kind of weird too, because Samoa Joe was in there and there was other people involved, even Jay White and everything. And then he got stuck in the Jericho feud earlier in the year. So I would like, you know, if he sticks around, some more consistency with him. But yeah, I think Ricky's going to take this. Up next, we have a six-man, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Kota Ibushi versus Takeshita, Sammy Guevara, and Will Ospreay. I don't know about this one. I think it'll be good. I'm sure. But I don't know what Kenny has done to deserve. Like, he's teaming with Jericho and Collision for a match. I don't know what Kenny has done to deserve this, at being sucked into this stuff. Kota hasn't looked great since he came back. Takeshita, I love. Sammy, I just could not care less about this Sammy Jericho thing, and I'm yet to see anyone like ever react to it on TV. It's so bad. And Ospreay, you know, he's always great, but I think that I just feel like they had such stuff with Takeshita and Omega, and it's just always been the way, like, that this Jericho callous stuff just gets in the way of it. I don't know, I'm not excited for this one.
I'm with you. I feel kind of exactly how I felt going into All In with the six man. What you're forgetting is we're actually getting six singles matches here of different combinations. It's not a trios match, but some absolutely ridiculous feedback we got overall in. But yeah, I find the Ospreay pairing is just absolutely bizarre. Because I believe he's a huge baby face right now in New Japan. Mm-hmm. And you watch All In, he's a huge baby face. Like, he lives an hour away from the stadium, and he's coming out with the biggest heel in the company, Don Callis. If we are getting Omega Ospreay 3 at Wrestle Kingdom, that ain't the story New Japan has been telling. Like, he's like, you know, starting to speak Japanese and endearing himself to the fans and that kind of thing. So that pairing's weird. I'm definitely with you with Sammy Guevara. It just feels a little too late on this whole thing.
What did you think of the Guevara-Jericho match in Dynamite?
Because
I thought it was one of the worst matches they've put on in this entire year.
They both missed quite a few stuff. There were like a few slip-ups.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed the callback to Sean and Jericho from 19, because that's one of my favorite matches. And I kind of, you know, clocked it with the gear and stuff. But I'm just, these Jericho feuds always go on so long.
Awful.
And Sammy Guevara, if this was like back at the beginning of his TNT championship run, you might have me invested here. But it's just a little too late. And Ibushi is someone I kind of just want to see do a singles and prove himself, because he's not impressed in these multi-man matches so far.
When they played that video, I think it was the week before this Guevara Jericho match, that showed like Sammy's, you know, career in AEW. And I just thought, mate, like, you should be embarrassed. Like, you've had 4 years of just this thing with Jericho. Like, it's just been so bad. And then we're at this point now. Like, there have been other points throughout the past 4 years that people might have cared about these two, but it ain't now. And I think it's just watering down, like, the Omega Takeshita stuff. And I think, you know, people have a real affinity for the Golden Lovers pairing, for Omega and Ibushi as a pairing. So, like, imagine that's your dream pairing, and then Jericho inserts himself in the middle of it like a third wheel. Like,
it does always seem the way.
Visual.
Like, it is always Jericho. What seems popular right now? Let me get into that. I'm surprised he's never been in the Bullet Club at some point, you know? Like, it's...
Don't put that out there. Please, God.
Yeah. Kenny, like, I just want to see Kenny in singles matches. I know this is, we were kind of saying off air, it feels like this is a pay-per-view that you can just, similar to Forbidden Door, like, you throw up the match graphic of Zack Sabre Jr. and Danielson right away, and you go, okay, this is what it is. It's kind of a dream match card. We're not necessarily going fully into a lot of the big AEW singles feud. So I imagine Kenny has his singles at Full Gear. But I can't say I've been too enjoying. It's just been messy. Like, all the characters, I don't feel are particularly in the right place right now. I find it very hard to take Jericho as a baby face at this point.
That does not work like one bit. Yeah.
So, but I think you continue with the heels winning. I think you've just put Sammy in this group. You're kind of telling this story that Kenny hasn't won since Callis turned on him, and you can't have Kenny getting that win in a trios match. It's got to be a big singles match on a bigger stage.
Yeah, I think Sammy has to pin Jericho, or he just looks like an idiot, because he looked like an idiot the other week for taking a loss to him, even though he'd already turned to the dark side with Don Callis, you know, just been unable to actually beat him. Next one. Okay, here's one I'm really looking forward to. Christian Cage, 2 out of 3 falls versus Darby Allin. I love Christian. Christian's an example of what a man in his 50s should be doing. You know, just fun stuff, having great feuds, being a really good heel, not like stealing, you know, heat from anyone. I think I love this. I've loved maybe all of Christian's most recent matches, so I hope he wins. I think that Darby's had the TNT Championship so many times that he feels like really synonymous with it, you know, now that Cody's gone. So,
yeah,
I think Christian can do more. But what do you think? And do you think Christian has any friends that he might want to bring to Wrestle Dream?
Oh, I mean, I think that is on the cards soon. And the dates all line up. It could happen. I'm with you. I don't think Darby's winning this. He's held this too many times. He needs to move on to other things. I think there's also the
story. He never will.
No. There's also the story, Christian and Luchasaurus. You know, Luchasaurus holding the belt in the match, where you're going to play some dissension between them. I think Christian probably deliberately throws out the first fall by just attacking, like, DQing himself, and then picks up the scraps, is what I'm thinking. But yeah, where does an Edge and Adam Copeland fit in with this kind of iteration of Christian?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because what I want Christian to do is date Nick Wayne's mom for sure. And then do a kind of angle where at first Nick is reluctant to accept Christian as his new dad, but then Christian does successfully get him to accept him. But I don't know where Edge would come into any of that. Like, I'm not factoring him in on it. I mean, do you feel like, because Christian's there, if Edge is coming in, they have to be brought in, like, he has to be brought in with Christian? Or do you think there's any way of them doing it and he's nothing to do with Christian for the first however many months?
Yeah, it would just feel weird if they, like, yeah. maybe debut Edge on something bigger in a more singles capacity, and you can have them, you know, cross paths and backstage and hug, and you show that they're still friends, even though Christian's a, like, a bad guy right now. You can always do the pairing of them. Like, Christian has been saying, you know, like, my real partner, where he's meaning Luchasaurus, but you're looking it through it between yeah. the lines, and it can be Edge. Whether you do the team where, you know, Edge just sees the good in this guy and, well, he's my buddy, like, and doesn't really see all the bad stuff he's doing. I don't know. I do sense a Nick Wayne turn coming. I think that is needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And justifiably, like, AR Fox attempted murder on this kid, and Darby's like, ah, it's okay. He helped me out.
I know. Speaking of bad angles, that's still my worst angle of the year so far, was just the forgiveness of AR Fox.
So Cody in the chat suggesting Edge comes in for the save on Darby's side, and you could do like an Edge v Christian thing to start with.
Yeah, like, but then Darby has too many legends on his side. Like, imagine hanging out with Edge and Sting. It's a lot. That's a lot for one god yeah. to handle, you know.
My worry is, as well, is we've seen what's happened with AEW, like, over the years, where we've been mm-hmm. plagued with injuries or people not liking each other or pandemics and stuff. And
yeah.
the big matches you haven't been able to do. And that's what I loved with, yeah. you know, Danielson came in and it's like, okay, what's the match everyone wants to see? Kenny v. Danielson. All right, let's do that match before I get hurt.
yeah.
Or one of us gets hurt. And that's my worry is, I think the kind of dream match, if you will, is FTR, Edge and Christian. To a lot of people. So how long would they want to put that off and necessarily risk an Edge or a Christian picking up an injury on the road to that match? So I think you will see them paired together sooner rather than later.
My other worry is that I really did not like Edge in WWE, like, his past couple of years. I really didn't enjoy it. I hope, like, if he's with Christian, that might just level him off to not doing any of the bad dramatics that he was doing before.
I think he can still go, though. Like, I think the best was probably his stuff with Seth, like that Hell in a Cell with Seth and stuff. Like, I think he's still got it in ring. But there are some restraints in WWE, and definitely the whole Judgment Day character stuff and injuries and long feuds with Randy Orton certainly didn't help things.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm still picking Christian. What about you, Christian?
Yeah, Christian.
Christian. TBS championship match. Chris Statlander versus Julia Hart. I like Julia Hart a lot, but I don't think she's there in ring yet to carry a championship. Even the TBS one that they seem to forget about even more than they forget about the women's one, though the women's one is not being defended on this show. But yeah, I just don't think she's there yet. I would say keep it on Chris.
I think so, and continue kind of this weekly sort of open challenge thing Chris Statlander's mm-hmm. doing. She is one of the strongest women in the division and can be putting on, like, compelling matches on TV when they book them. I think Julia Hart has improved. I thought her moonsault looked beautiful this week. But yeah, this is one, unfortunately, I do have the least interest in. But I see a Chris Statlander win.
Yeah, me too. The Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship match, The Righteous versus just MJF. So Adam Cole is hurt and needs surgery and all that stuff, though maybe not. Everyone's kind of divided on how bad it is. So does MJF beat The Righteous by himself, or does he lose the belts?
Well, I think there's something else you could do here is Roddy. Roddy comes out. Roddy comes out to team with Max for the honor of their best friend. And I think they win. And I think you can have quite a fun story going on where, you know, Roddy and Max start becoming a lot better friends mm-hmm. and Adam comes back as the kind of guy in the middle, except he's wearing a leg brace instead of a neck brace.
Yeah.
But also, where do you, like, Are they working us on this leg thing? Is this a ruse? I don't know. Am I becoming a bit of a mark here? Like, is it real?
All right. Firstly, and everyone, please don't hate me, but I hate all this MJFs with like a passion. That skit that they did on Dynamite in the water, I don't think I've ever seen anything so unfunny, painfully unfunny in my life. I can't deal with what Max has become, really. He might be the wrestler that's like slept me down the most from what I thought he was gonna be if you ever give him the title to like what he's become, a guy that's fishing Big Show in the water. Right. Great. Really. So I guess, yeah, teaming with Roddy, like what you're saying makes sense, that you just then put this on Roddy and then Adam takes the role of the guy that's injured and there's still all the friendship stuff. And I guess Roddy's doing it for Adam. So that's better for sure than MJF just beating the Righteous alone, which, yeah, you know. So I guess, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to say that I don't believe that Adam's as hurt as they're saying, but it really feels like, is he though? Because that's tremendously unlucky for him.
Yeah.
To be that hurt. I just don't know about this one.
I mean, it would be, and if it is an angle, if it is a work, it's tremendous. Yeah. You know, like they're this whole time, well, Adam Cole has been, you know, making MJF wrestle weekly, whereas he used to work like six matches a year or whatever. He's making him work twice in one night. He's getting him to work a handicap match, and he's just now like out with this injury. Like, that's fantastic storytelling. Or he's really injured and we're pivoting and we're seeing what's the best we can do out of a bad situation. So yeah. I don't know on this one.
Well, who do you think attacked Jay White?
So how many masked men were there here?
So I think there were four.
Okay.
So I guess logic says it's, well, okay, whether or not Adam was one of the people, like, because he could be the devil one, depends on whether or not you can believe he can physically walk, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got like Roddy, and you've got like Kyle, and then the Kingdom, like Kyle could come back. My God, could they bring back Bobby Fish? Like, are we that invested? Are we that invested?
I mean, the black cloud has gone now, hasn't it? Where is the lie?
Or are these must people, or at least the leader of them, someone else that we're not even, you know, thinking of in this scenario?
Like, something that comes to my mind is, could this be Adam Cole with juice and the guns? And he's taken over Bullet Club.
He's taking over that, yeah.
He's kicking out Jay White. Jay White has established himself now. And I think as much as like his debut, I don't think completely hit. I think this Bullet Club gold thing has actually helped in the long run. And it has made him feel more prominent. But he's a guy that could stand on his own. And it could all be part of this master plan to have Cole now with Bullet Club Gold going after Max, maybe.
Yeah.
The Kingdom just... What, the Kingdom with Kyle just seems a bit meh to me. I'd love to see Kyle O'Reilly come back, but I hope he's okay. It's been a long time. But yeah, I think maybe Cole is the most interesting. But again, is his ankle really shattered?
I know. How do you feel about MJF like not defending the title, the world title, on another pay-per-view? Does that bother you?
I think now we're getting them coming up so frequently, and you've got, I kind of think it looks worse if you have him defending the title with Danielson and Zach for no title main eventing over it. It kind of makes it seem a little weaker. So I'm okay with it. I'm sure he's going to, he just wrestled, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago with Grand Slam. So it's not like he hasn't been defending it. And now you've got so many of these big shows. I think it's okay to spread it out.
Yeah. So I guess, so are you going for MJF wins with Roddy?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'll join you in that. The worst possible scenario is MJF beating the Righteous, because that's just like not fair and awful for one man to beat two. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I just don't like this MJF title run. Like, what can I say? When Jay came out to confront him, like, my best scenario would be Jay winning it like at Full Gear, and then we could put this to bed, and then Jay can go on and have like a really good title run. I don't know, but we'll see. But I know a lot of people like the MJF stuff. It's like I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm scared to talk about how much I hate this MJF title run.
It's one of those things.
It's very divisive.
I think it's like it's a long-term plan as well, I think, because whenever you are finally pulling that trigger on the betrayal, I do think, as silly as it's been, you've built up enough where people will care about it a lot more than they would. But it does mean you are dividing MJF. And I thought this was back to form, like his kind of back and forth with Jay White this week. It's like, yeah, that's what we want more of, because that's the MJF we loved. With all his great promos and stuff. So I completely agree with people that are not enjoying it. I completely understand it. For me, it is working. I am compelled. And people are acting like this AEW title was booked fantastically before this Max run.
Oh, it really
hasn't been.
They've only ever booked the first champion well, I think. In history, I don't think they've ever booked a champion well. It's just this one for me is just lessening like the title even more, because it's not like the focal point of his story. It's all about his friendship with Adam, and he's got another belt as well. And I don't know. It feels like it's not how I thought an MJF title would go, whether he was babyface or heel. You know, I didn't think it would go down this particular path, but no, they've never booked the champion well, that's for sure. They can't make the champion like the real vocal point of every show. They really dropped the ball with Kenny on it as well, and Hangman I think is the one they dropped the ball most.
100%.
All right, we'll leave the MJF discourse and we'll move on to the Ring of Honor World and New Japan Strong Champion, Eddie Kingston versus Shibata. I think this match is going to be excellent, and I think Eddie Kingston is going to win and retain.
Yeah, he needs to learn the name of the title he's holding. Like on Dino, he's like, this New Japan World title open weight strong thing, it means the world to me. I'm like, does it, Eddie? No, this is going to be great. Like every time we get a Shibata match, I'm kind of pinching myself. It still doesn't really feel real that we're getting Shibata in 2023. And you know, like Eddie has a ton of respect for this guy, and just he wears his heart on his sleeve and he wrestles like that as well. So I think this is going to be really fun, but I do see Eddie retaining. It's very soon for him to drop it all.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good match. There's no way he can drop it. He's, you know, cancelled all his indie dates on everyone. Yeah. So it'd be a bit bad if he dropped the titles. And I think that, you know, Eddie is someone that I've been championing for a really long time, and he gets the most amazing reactions. And it feels like Tony not didn't trust him, but like maybe didn't, you know, to put something else like a TNT championship on him or something like that. So I think this is a good, like this title run is a good way of like proving that Eddie can be called upon for other things. Like maybe not a world title run. Maybe we're not like there anymore, but I think like an international title run or a TNT title run.
I feel with, if you had MJF as a heel, as the champion, I think that's a match you can absolutely go to. Eddie not necessarily winning, but I think that would be a good main event, Eddie versus Max. They're just not in the right roles right now for that.
No. Next up, we have the Tag Team Championship match, FTR versus Aussie Open. And we touched on this a little bit earlier. I think it's going to be FTR. I'll never get over Aussie Open taking the loss to Jericho and Guevara. Mm. So if they win, that makes that even more nonsensical that they had to lose that match. But I do think it's going to be a really good match. These teams have faced each other before. They did at RevPro, and it was really awesome. So I think they're going to do that again on a bigger stage.
Yeah, I think because of the losses to Cole and MJF and the loss to Guevara and Jericho, I feel maybe you do put the titles on these guys to rehab them a bit. I'm trying to think of teams, like kind of credible teams FTR haven't really faced in this run yet. And I am scratching my head what the next feud is. Whereas if you go with Aussie Open, that opens up, you know, Aussie Open Bucks, Aussie Open Lucha Brothers. Like there's so many different combinations. And these guys are fantastic. We just haven't really seen it in AEW yet. Yeah. So I think maybe this is the case where kind of the title can make the team a little bit. So I'm going to go with Aussie Open for this.
Oh, wow. I just feel like it feels almost just too soon from them losing the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship. Not that you like can't do that, but I feel like I was going to say like a logical booger would maybe like space that out and tell like a big story of the team in between. But we're talking about Tony here and he tends to just, you know, throw things out. So it feels like he probably wasn't planning when Aussie Open lost them that Wrestle Dream, they would then go for the AEW Tag Team Championship, you know.
Can Santana and Ortiz just make friends and realize that they should be in this tag division and they've been in this company a long time and should probably hold those titles at some point?
I know, they have to just not let their past hold them back because they were torn apart by the whole inner circle like crap, and now they're just letting that like ruin their future. They should be like a tag team on top, but
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, next up, we've got Hangman Page and Swerve. I think other than the Christian Darby match, this match I'm looking forward to the most. I liked the contract signing segment. I liked Hangman's Black Cloud promo. Who knows what he was referring to, but I think in general, no matter who he's had issues with, he just has kind of had a bit of a like weak year. He's been stuck in a lot of elite stuff. And I just wanted to see him have a singles feud. And Swerve is the guy, like, if I had to pick two guys to be my next guys on top, it would be Swerve and Jay. So Swerve's the perfect person for Hangman to feud with. And I think that Swerve's going to win and prove that he was right and Hangman wasn't ready. And then we can have another match and then probably another match. I think this is like a best of three style feud. Like, this is match one. What do you think about it?
I agree with everything you just said. I was cheering when they did this first segment. I'm like, yes, yeah. Hangman back in singles and Swerve being elevated in a meaningful program. Both are favorites of mine. I think they're both excellent. I've been watching Swerve a long time. I loved his stuff. Like the original Hit Row stuff he was doing in NXT was really clicking. And you started to see when he tapped into that heel persona there, how good he can be. And I think he's made the most of the time he's had in AEW, but it's definitely time to elevate him. I think storyline-wise, it makes sense for Hangman to lose too. Because Hangman is the best when he's that kind of anxious millennial cowboy and, you know, playing with his feelings and stuff like that and being in a bit of a rut. And Swerve definitely needs a big win on a big pay-per-view in his hometown as well. Like,
yeah,
I think Hangman can absolutely afford the loss, and I think it will make Swerve even a bigger guy.
I think the crowd will be so hot for this. As you said, it's Swerve's hometown, and Hangman, like, I think if you're an AEW fan, you like have to support Hangman. He's like the OG AEW guy. I think the crowd will be so hot, and you're right, Swerve needs to win, because the negative on Swerve is he loses so much. He's been really booked to lose a lot of it, but yeah, I think Swerve's winning, but I think it's going to be an excellent match, and I think it's going to be the one with like the most crowd heat excitement of the night, and it's absolutely one of the better build-up matches, because that was a good go-home angle. Though of course they cut to something entirely else, but that is AEW.
Yeah. This is one. This is one I definitely see like ending in a Texas death match or something like that.
Yes.
We've seen Swerve, how he can do the violence and the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
Hangman, it's been a bit of a staple of his, like a lot of his major feuds have had that. So I think that will be the culmination of this.
Yeah, I'm really looking ahead to Full Gear, just, you know, because I'll be there. And if they had Paige Swerve at Texas death match, like that would be excellent. That would be so good. Okay, finally, and what is, I think, the main event? I think that's what everyone's saying. Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. Not so much a TV storyline match, really, though maybe they'll do something on Collision for this, but certainly a Wrestle Dream match. And Zack being like one of the few New Japan guys there. If you count Shibata, they never let him wrestle there. So kind of the only New Japan guy on the show. Oh, and Ospreay as well. But yeah, I think this is going to be really great. I think people are hyped for it. Bryan, a Seattle guy too. Well, a Washington guy. So the crowd are going to love him. Just coming back after the great match with Ricky Starks. I think it's going to be awesome. I think Bryan's going to win just because it's in AEW and Seattle. He kind of has to, doesn't he? Isn't that the deal?
I mean, if Bryan beat Okada, you know, in AEW, he's going to beat Zack. I can't wait for this match. It's one we've waited for a long, long time. It was announced for that.
First Forbidden Door match.
And, but I think there's a great kind of little story going into this with Brian's arm, because he said in an interview recently about how he's been working these kind of death match and strap match and stuff so he doesn't have to use his arm much. But now he's completely healed and cleared, and he's against the best submission wrestler in the world, who I'm sure is going to be targeting that recently healed broken arm of Danielson. But yeah, we haven't really got much on TV about this, aside from the fact that it's a dream match and Dave Meltzer picks one or the other each year to be the greatest technical wrestler of the year. One of the more sensible things Dave says.
I've laid off Dave for this hour only.
Okay. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. Danielson to win.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be really, really good. So if you had to pick one match that you're most looking forward to, what match would it be?
I'd say Swerve Hangman.
Me too. I was going to say the same. If you had to pick a bathroom break match, what would that be?
I don't know. I don't want to say the women's match. So I'll say Jericho's entrance.
Jericho's entrance and any time he tags in would be what I would say. Yeah. I mean, I even did that at Wembley. But anyway,
you used to be such a fan.
It's just like it's been a downfall. It's been a downfall. I do think it's going to be a really great show. It's a good card. It is just so weird that we're entering into like this era of AEW where there's going to be more than just the four pay-per-views. Like, it feels like I was just talking about an AEW pay-per-view because I was All Out after All In. And it's like, I don't know. Like, what do you think Tony's like new era comment is?
Like, there's a few things. It could be, you know, two big new signings.
Yeah.
Like an Adam Copeland and a Mercedes, perhaps. Mm-hmm. People have been chatting as well, because all these ROH titles are now going on to featured AEW guys. Is there something with that we could be doing? We can certainly lose a few titles in this company.
We could really lose some titles.
So is that something we could be looking at? Or is it just, announcing we're doing pay-per-views every month? I'm not sure. What are your thoughts?
I don't think they're ready for monthly pay-per-views yet. I can't see that being a thing. That just feels, it feels too much. Like, it already feels like there's too much with Collision and with Rampage and with Dynamite. And I think the whole giving Punk Collision, right, was a bad idea. It's a bad idea to give a guy a show for like these problems. But at the same time, it felt so separate then that it was like, if you didn't like Punk. You could just not watch that. And if you did like him, you could pay more attention to that. But now I think Collision feels like more of an extra thing because it's like some of the same people that you're seeing on Dynamite. So that all feels too much. And then adding in like another monthly pay-per-view, I don't think Tony's in the right flow as a booker yet to get to there. Like, he's a great matchmaker, but he struggles from the week to week. But then I guess if he had a pay-per-view every month and the pay-per-views are always really good and he always just uses that to like stop any criticism, that he would have that he would be able to take any criticism at all. So I don't know what it is, but I'm more like apprehensive than excited. It just Tony saying like a new era of AEW with the way things have been going recently, like it scares me more than it excites me.
Yeah, it's, I mean, something I've noticed with the TV recently, I do think even though the turnaround's been quick, I think the build to Wrestle Dream has been a lot better than the build we had for All In. All Out at that. I think they've done a pretty good job with this. But Dynamite's changed quite a bit recently, where we're getting a lot more promo segments and vignettes and that kind of thing than we used to. It used to be you tune in every week to Dynamite and you'd have two absolutely killer matches. And maybe it's because I just watch so much wrestling now that they don't hit like they used to. But it feels they are using TV time more to build stories. And if that means we're going to lose, like, you know, our Fight for the Fallen special Wednesday nights, our Winter is Coming special Wednesday nights, where you're looking to peak to that, and we're just peaking to a monthly pay-per-view, and whether it be on Max, where it's more like a subscription thing and you still pay for your big four or whatever, like, it is more WWE, kind of the structuring of it, but I think we've seen with this build, it has been a little bit more successful. So maybe having that, okay, this isn't just a TV episode, we're trying to sell pay-per-views here, it might focus things and streamline them a little better. And it just means you manage to play with your kind of stars a bit more, where you're not necessarily on every single show, but you have, like, you can have a Danielson and Zach main event this one, and the next one you can have one of your world title matches. And the next one you can look at maybe, you know, the finale of Swerve versus Hangman or whatever, you know, like, for an example. I'll be interested to see what they do. But also, TK says a lot of things that, you know, is going to shake the foundation of wrestling to its core. And it's, you've signed Lio Rush, you know, it's like, so we always take, I always take what he says with like a bucket of salt, you know.
I think my biggest fear was, and I don't think this will happen at all, but the way that they ended Dynamite with this attack, and then I just suddenly thought, what if Tony's new era comment is some kind of Attitude Era style kayfabe thing, where like, it's not, you know, we're moving into like 10 pay-per-views a year or something. It's where, like, I don't know, there's some like crazy storyline they've concocted that reminds you of something like in the Attitude Era, and something happens. I don't know, I'm just so more like apprehensive and like literally just scared of directions they might be going in now than I ever have been before, that I worry about stuff like that. Like, I worry for the day that Tony gets involved in an angle as a character and like finally fully becomes like on air, you know, Vince McMahon style.
He's the man in the mask. It was me, Jay. It was me all along.
That is my biggest fear, that the person that takes off the mask is Tony Khan. He's now just a like full-time character.
Yeah, it's Tony, it's RJ City, it's Shivani. Like, it's just,
You briefly mentioned it there, but do you think Mercedes comes to Wrestle Dream?
I can see her coming soon, but like, where is she coming in? I don't think Statlander and Julia Hart is the moment to come, unless you just do it as, you know, Shivani standing on the stage announcing the big new signing, where I would have thought we'd have had some hype for that before now. So I don't really know. I don't
new
see
new era.
Yeah. I don't see what the setup is for it, unless you just have, you could have like just a promo segment with Saraya coming out and being like, why wasn't I booked on this pay-per-view or whatever? And Mercedes comes and confronts her. I don't know. I do see her once she's healed. I don't know what the status is, whether she's still in that boot or not, but I do see her coming to AEW, especially with seeing her at Wembley.
I mean, I can see Tony taking the microphone and saying like, this is a new era of AEW. I am now going to book the women's division. And here comes Mercedes. I'm like, that's new era. Tony, Tony finally has a woman he thinks is worthy of his attention. And Mercedes Monet comes in and we actually get like some booking there. But yeah, I think it's too soon for her. I don't think that she's like ready yet. And I think that it would be kind of, I think that would be hyped up in like a, you know, first time Punk came back way where it's like, we're not saying it, but it's coming, that type of thing. I think you'd get like little money references and all that kind of stuff around it. I think it's more likely we get Edge.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
With Metalingus.
Cool. Oh, I mean, it's quite a good song for a wrestling song, isn't it? It's always better to have your theme that everyone knows. Like the people that bought songs, like that have songs, you know, like Punk that you can bring from promotion to promotion is like the smartest thing you can do, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It won't be the name though. He can keep his song, but he can't be Edge.
Yeah, what is he? Corner, side? He'll just be Adam, won't he?
I think he's just Adam. He's just Adam Copeland. Or Adam. All right. Well, Davey, thank you so much for joining me. And why don't you tell everyone where they can follow you and everything they can keep up with you over in Poison Manor?
Absolutely. Well, you can follow me on my socials at Davey Portman and follow at Poison Rana Pod. We do a bunch of shows over on our free feed and our Patreon. We recently, just yesterday, put out a free show, Best Match Ever, Bray Wyatt, looking at the best moments and matches of the career of Wyndham Rotunda. We really enjoyed that show, and it was pretty cool looking back at his career. Obviously passed away very recently. But we've got a whole lot on our Patreon. It's getting into spooky season where we like talking about stuff outside of wrestling. We're doing a bunch of horror movie reviews, our annual Halloween review. We're up to Halloween 6 this year. So if you like some horror stuff, we're kind of your guys as well. But follow us on the socials and everything's on there, where you can find us, how to subscribe. Brayden, my usual partner in crime, and John Cena will be running down No Mercy tomorrow night on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel.
Awesome. For me, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie M. Chase and go look for my podcast. It's called The Bechdel Hold with Stephanie Chase, but you can just put my name into Apple and you'll find it. And go subscribe to my YouTube as well. I should have some fun stuff up next week and I will do a review of this show of wrestling. But until next time, everyone, thank you and goodbye.
See ya.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.